6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Big one tonight in Greeley at Bank of Colorado Arena. The UNC Bears getting set to take on Portland State. And hopefully the Bears can keep that going. Got, what, six games left? Make a final push here. Set themselves up for the Big Sky Conference Tournament. Coverage begins on that one with Jerry Schimmel at 5:30 with the opening tip-off at 6 o'clock. Before that, we'll have a shortened version of Rams Weekly starting at 5 o'clock. Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire and myself will talk all things Colorado State. So we're covering it all here. We've got dedication to UNC and Colorado State and Nuggets coverage and Broncos and Rockies and all of it. So we do it here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Texter coming in. Brady, did they just go after Russ? Oh, about this. Did they just go after Russ, or did they investigate any other foundations? I don't have problems donating. However, I often wonder if it goes actually, if it actually goes to the cause. I think that's a big concern with a lot of places, as you wonder how much of my money is actually going into the stuff here. That's why I like a lot of the nonprofits here that we work with. You know, what they report is how much actually goes back into the community. And I do think, like United Way of Weld County, I know nationally some people have asked how much is actually going in. Well, locally with Weld County, I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know a lot of it goes out more than what we're seeing with this Russell Wilson thing. And then Weld Food Bank as well. But that's the problem, is it's not just a, Angel, it's not just like, you're not just arguing with, oh, a multimillionaire only spent a certain amount on charities, but everything else went to other stuff. Well, that's, you know, the argument can always be, well, it's a free market, man. It's their money. They can do whatever the hell they want with it. When you set up a charity, when you set up a nonprofit and you ask for money, and you're spending it more than 50% on something that's not a charitable thing, you can't do that.
Yeah, and I don't know how much blame you'll put on Russell Wilson for this, or Sierra for that matter, because it is a foundation that they set up, and they're not running it. They're not looking at the numbers. They're not, you know, doing payroll and stuff like that. That's left up to the, you know, the board members or whoever for the foundation. I imagine Russell and Sierra have some a significant involvement in it.
Sure.
But outside of, okay, we're going to do this event, we need you guys to show up for this time, you'll talk to these people for the press, and then you'll go and do whatever you want.
Yeah, Russ just, he's got a lot going on. He's got a lot going on in his life, man. And he continues to just do stuff all the time. And it's like you have so many irons in the fire. Eventually, stuff's going to fall through the cracks. Now, that's a pretty big crack to fall through. So we'll see what comes from it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Did you see yesterday Roger Goodell? Did you hear what he said about officiating never being better?
It's the best he's ever seen.
He said,
Roger, listen.
He said, I don't think it's ever been better. There are over 42,000 plays in a season. Multiple infractions could occur on any play. Take that out or extrapolate that. That's hundreds, if not millions, of potential fouls. And our officials do an extraordinary job of getting those. Are there mistakes in the context of that? Yes. They are not perfect, and officiating never will be.
We're not asking about the little minute holdings or whatever that
some
go
of the
on during every play.
Big stuff, yeah.
Plays like, wait, we need to stop the clock and restart this third down because we didn't start the clock on time.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a first down, Kansas City. Oh, there's your Super Bowl trip.
And I know it's all
a
joke.
It's the
I know,
big, obvious yeah. game-changing penalties that we're concerned about.
And I know it's all a joke. The conspiracy theory of the script, and the players are all having fun with it and buying into it on social media. They're all going on in on it. But the fact that the officiating was so bad and questionable, we started this social media campaign of the script. That's, like I said, it's not true. The NFL is not scripted, but the refs were so bad this year, it started everybody online in this funny, weird world of scripting the NFL. Everyone's talking about it. guys are doing videos on it, and players are coming out saying, man, when I got the script this year, I was so disappointed to see what was going to happen. It was so bad that we have made a gigantic mockery of it. Now Roger talked about that stopping of the clock thing. He said in the championship game, that was stopped appropriately because the clock was running by an official on the field. That happens frequently in our game. That's not an unusual thing to have that happen. We may not agree with every TV announcer or officiating expert, but we think our officials are doing a great job. We're always going to look to our competition committee and everything else we have, how we improve our officiating, but it will never be perfect. Yeah, I don't think anybody's expecting it to be perfect. John Madden he coined that phrase. Holding happens on almost every play. So it's just a matter of if you're going to call it or not, if your eyeballs are right on that particular hold. Because officials are watching everything. It's a tough job. I'll tell you this. I never really blame the officials for that stopping the clock thing. Yeah, probably. But I blame the league for making it more complicated. The NFL is extremely complicated, and it just keeps getting more complicated as we go. We talked about the Bengals, Joe Burrow, the intentional grounding, too. He said if the quarterback starts a throwing motion with the hand coming forward with the ball, starts that motion, and then he's contacted by a defender, which impacts that motion, then you're not to call intentional grounding. And I thought that the contact may have impacted Burrow's ability to get the ball out. So he did say not call, but not giving enough to not call grounding in that situation is what Goodell's saying. I know, it's confusing. So he's basically saying that, yeah, it wasn't enough impact to lead to a no call, which is why they called intentional grounding.
What about roughing the passer?
Well, he talked about the one with Patrick Mahomes, that one when he ran out, and it was a late hit. He said the quarterback was under duress, in danger of being sacked, and then threw the ball. Oh, he's not. Sorry. He's talking about the Chiefs one, and he's like 100% on that one. He's like, yeah, he was out of bounds. Roughing the passer, did he talk about that? Not sure. But that's something they have to fix up. They have to figure that out. I don't know if he was asked about it.
And that penalty, it seems like more popular quarterbacks get that call more often than others. If we're all about keeping these players safe, then it needs to be even across the board. Or just put in a rule that you can't touch him. I know that wouldn't work, but you have to make it fair across the league. If Joe Burrow gets put on his butt 2 seconds after the ball is gone, there's no flag. You know, that's not even a fair call, Burrow being one of those up-and-coming quarterbacks.
No question. Yeah, no question about it. So did you hear Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, and Rodgers said the reason that we're seeing such bad officiating... He said the best refs we've had in the league are on TV now. He said they're not working in the league office. They're on TV. Gene Steratore, my favorite ref of all time, I think one of the best guys at understanding how to interact with guys and how to communicate with them and then how to control a game without being a part of it. Gene was incredible at that, but Gene is on TV now. Why? Because they pay more. Well, again, we've always heard that officiating is not a full-time job. So to blame the refs is difficult because... They are full-time they have full-time jobs. They do this as a part-time gig. So they don't pay like a part-time. I don't know what an average NFL ref makes. Maybe you could check that out for me, Anjo. But this one, yeah, that's one reason. You have guys that are focused on their careers and whatever it is they're doing, and then they're officiating on the side. If you wanted to make it better, then I think you would have to pay the refs to make that a full-time gig. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How much do they make a year?
About $205,000.
Oh, geez.
With the highest being around $250,000.
So that's a full-time job.
I would hope they take it seriously as if it was a full-time job.
I always heard that it was a part-time gig. Like most of the officials have full-time jobs, whatever they're usually rich dudes, and then they officiate on the side. But $200K, that's not an officiating on the side. It's a good amount.
And it's not like they're just picking guys off the street. You have to go through a very strenuous process to be qualified to even ref in the NFL.
Yeah.
You have to go, I'm sure you have to have plenty of experience at multiple levels of, you know, football in this case, as well as passing a physical test, passing the rules test. It's not an easy job.
If you paid more, would they be more dedicated to learning how to officiate? And not that they don't know how to officiate, but they change the rules every year, so it does take a lot of time to sit down and figure out what is what. And when to call what, and how to call what, and when you can call what. I still blame the NFL for overcomplicating this. The NFL is a more complicated game than any of the others of the Big Four. There's no doubt, in my mind anyway. So it's already complicated, but then every year you change the rules. I mean, the catch rule has changed over time. The late hit rule, we do not understand. Nobody understands that. Holding still seems to be a gray area. There's too many gray areas. Pass interference is a gray area. Angel, it used to be cut and dry. When they first changed the rule that players couldn't bump after 5 yards, it was pretty obvious. You can't touch them. After five, you can bump them off the line, but once they get past you or whatever, you can't touch them. How many guys do we see with their arms tangled up with each other and stuff, and then there's a lot of no calls on that. That happens
that
all the time.
Just, you know, if both guys are equally hand fighting,
sure,
it gets washed. But how about
when
you're going
you
over the middle,
the ball.
You're going over the middle and you're getting basically tackled as you catch the ball. Their defender's got an arm around your waist.
Mm-hmm.
That's PI, but it almost never gets called.
But even the hand thing, like, the receiver, it's like the runner, the tie goes to the runner. Well, in this case, the tie should go to the receiver if there's a lot of hand fighting and stuff. If your hand fighting is keeping the receiver from catching the ball, that should be interference. And I know they say that both players have an equal opportunity to go for the ball. Yes, but you can't impede his ability to catch the football. You can't, if you're hand fighting and it's like a tie, then it goes to the runner. It goes to the offensive player. That's why it's so confusing, though. Intentional grounding. Was that the right call on Joe Burrow?
That one's weird for me because it's always, oh, he's in or out of the pocket. If it's in the pocket, it has to be past the line of scrimmage,
yeah,
or there has to be someone in the area. Like, just get rid of the out of the pocket, into the pocket stuff and just make it, you throw it past line of scrimmage, there's no one there. It's grounding.
Because he was in the pocket, right?
Yeah.
And he threw it past the line of scrimmage, but there was nobody there.
Right.
But there was a guy like 7 yards further away from that ball. So you could argue, and he kind of got messed with, but he didn't get hit. Like, that was what Roger Goodell was arguing, is like, if he would have got hit, and then that made the ball look like it was way shorter than he wanted it, where he wanted it to go, if it would have really messed up his throw, then yeah, we wouldn't have called it because the defender would have caused the ball to go awry. But in this case, there wasn't enough action toward Joe Burrow to make that throw that wild. But that's another one. It's the NFL's full of gray areas. Like, dude, name gray areas in other sports. Like the NFL, that has that many gray areas. You want to talk about basketball? When they go to review a play and it's the close-up on whose fingertip it went out on? Yeah, a lot of times those aren't conclusive. You just kind of have to go with what your gut tells you.
Also, the NBA has like 45 more cameras.
That's true, but there's not that many gray areas. Yeah, there's gray areas as far as what's a foul and when it's a foul, but that's pretty cut and dry as far as the gray area. The NFL has like 30 gray areas.
Would the 3-second violation be one?
Yeah, it is, but it's not like the NFL so big where we got to go back and review that. His foot was in. They don't typically even talk about it in the NBA.
Mm-mm.
Like, you barely see defensive three, or you barely see defensive 3 seconds. You see offensive 3 seconds almost less now.
But it's obvious.
That's obvious. What's a carry? in basketball. Yeah. I guess that's a gray area.
Traveling.
Traveling is a big gray area. But I mean, even like the kid, how many of these guys like scoop the ball and that Bones scoops it to the side? Like his, they say you can have it on the side, you know,
but
and
they
you
go
can,
like,
oh, you see it all the time.
Rotating the ball.
Yeah.
How about like screens?
Again, that's kind of a gray. Maybe basketball does have a lot of gray area. The moving screen. Did that guy move you to move the screen, though?
Most of the time, it's just, okay, it's a common foul. Or if you're in the bonus, it's free throws. But then every foul is a free throw.
Yeah. There's some gray areas in basketball. Football, there's just so many. Because, again, there is holding on every play. But what is actually holding? You see it. Guys tackle them, and then you see an arm go around them and stuff. But it's happening all the time. The late hit is ridiculous. The roughing the passer. And there's times where you even get a sack and they call roughing the passer. Like even what they did with like Tua's throw when the player threw Tua down. And that was that the Bengals game?
Mm-hmm.
Was that called a penalty?
No.
But I've seen
the
that.
One against Buffalo
yeah.
where he threw it and then got pushed yeah. and landed. That should have been a penalty.
Well, even the twist, though, even if you have the ball, I've seen it called where
I think the one
if you get
the
hit
Bengals,
down so hard, your head hits hard, they call it a penalty.
That one could have been more unnecessary roughness.
Yes, but they didn't call it.
Right.
But sometimes they'll call it. I don't understand it. Swiping where your face, your hand goes in front of the face mask like this microphone, I'm just grazing it. Should that be a penalty? I mean, yeah, you want to encourage guys to stay away from the head, but if a hand grazes your face mask, isn't that just common sense? Like, that shouldn't be. I'm talking about Clark. Wasn't it Clark's over Tom Brady's a few years ago? I think it was. And it just grazed his face mask.
You're going for the ball. You're going to get an arm up to try to tip the ball or knock it down.
Yeah.
Just get your arms up and bring them down on the quarterback.
I remember one years ago when John Lynch still played, when he played for the Broncos, a guy caught a ball and went down to the ground. John Lynch ran by him, and rather than tackling him, he just tagged him because he thought he was down. Well, the guy was in the act of getting up, and so John Lynch thought he tagged him, but before he tagged him, the guy's knees were off the ground. The player got up and ran in for a touchdown. Lynch walked over to the officials. He talked about this after that game. I don't remember who it was against. He talked to the officials and said, well, what would have happened if I would have clobbered him? I just wanted to tag him to make sure he's down. What would have happened if I would have just tackled him? We would have called you for unnecessary roughness.
We saw that with Taylor Heineke in the season.
Yeah.
Where he like went back and yep. kind of just fell down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Up. Yeah, and you and I argued about that one. That was a weird one, though. Because we've seen those plays get called the other way. The Devonta Smith catch, people are giving. I don't give that one as flack as much because you had the ability to challenge that. You could have challenged it. It
yeah,
looked like a catch.
They also didn't really have time to do it because Devonta ran the hurry up.
Throw it up. Just throw it. Actually,
I mean,
Shanahan said he
delay.
Was going to challenge it until he saw it on the big screen. He said he was going to challenge it until he saw it on the big screen.
Well, it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, right. From when Devonta caught it, went to the ground, got up, did his hand signal.
But is that on the refs for not? Like, it looked
no,
like
that's
a complete.
On the people in the booth.
Yeah.
It's on the Niners video staff.
Right,
that's
so it's not on the ref. Like, people are trying to blame the refs for that one. It's like, if it was a scoring play, yeah, the refs would have had to, they would have been the ones to challenge it, but that's on the Niners.
And there's, I'd imagine, some kind of delay from getting the actual replay of it.
Yeah.
By the time you get it, look at it and say, there might be something. Oh, they already snapped.
There's just a lot. Like I said, man, there's just a lot of gray area there. Like face mask. Why can, as a defender, I don't have to grab your face mask and pull. If I just get my hand on it at all, an offensive player can touch your face mask, can use it to move, but he can't grab and move you. But if a defender even touches the face mask, isn't it a penalty?
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry can shove your face in, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
But if you did it, if you tried to do it to Derrick, it's a penalty.
They just say you can't, as an offensive player, you can't grab their face mask and use it to pull them down. But you can
push them.
You can stiff arm their face mask away from you. But if a defensive player goes to tackle somebody and his hand is coming over that face mask, I think it's a penalty unless he maybe the rule is unless he grabs hold of it. But I've seen it called.
Or if there's like an obvious movement.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, that one's crazy to me. Scrums. How about the scrums? This is one of my biggest issues in the NFL and football.
The pushing?
Is the pushing. You can push forward on offense, but once you start pushing backward on defense, they stop it because of forward progression.
That's or if it comes dumb. To a stop and then it starts going backwards, the play is already dead at the stop.
That's stupid because offensively, a guy can get stood up at the line of scrimmage, but then here come the offensive linemen to push him forward, and they give him the yards until he falls down. That should go both ways. That's a gray area, though. I can drive and drive and drive. I can get my entire team behind me if I want to drive me forward to get a touchdown. But if on defense I get my entire team to drive back the running back, they're going to stop it for when you first started pushing him back. That's ridiculous. Change that rule.
I'll be right on that.
Change that rule. My point is it's hard to officiate this game. Because certain rules don't apply to every player, every position, everything, whatever. It's just bizarre. 27 minutes after the hour. Game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. It's from New Belgium Brewing. Oakspire Bourbon Barrel Ale. You can get selections from there, from New Belgium at On the Rocks Liquor. Also, don't forget tomorrow, 4 to 7, got an On the Rocks Liquor free wine tasting. Check that one out. And then on Saturday, a spirit tasting. On Saturday, 4 to 7, with the folks from Heart Distilling. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's look at the poll question. Let's look at what the Avs did this time last year to ensure that they could be a championship team. It does appear that the trade deadline is over. It does appear that the Nuggets are done, and they have Thomas Bryant to show for it. Are you good with it? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to shout out to one of our new sponsors of the program, Kane Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm. Crazy roads in Weld County, no question about it, and in all over Northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there is only one law firm to contact, and that's Kane Doolin McQuinn and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Our guy Jerry Schimmel knows about these guys. He worked with these guys. And if Jerry Schimmel's trusting this group, then I'm trusting them too. So take that seriously. If you know somebody that's been involved in a car accident and there's reason to believe it was because of a negligent driver, then check them out online, trialproven.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So Sean Payton said on the McAfee show, he said the new phrase for the Broncos is buck 'em. Is that right? Is that real? Or is he joking? Please tell me he's joking. Please tell me we're not going to have two conflicting Broncos sayings. I can't do that again. My guess is he's probably messing around, but is that a good thing? If he's joking about it, he's also making fun of Russ. Dude, Russ has had it rough lately. Bad year. Bad everything, and then this comes out about his charity. Oh, and I'm not saying some of it's not, or most of it's not self-induced. It's just, I like Russ. I like the person he is, I think.
Do you?
I don't know. I think I do.
Have you ever met him?
No, I've never met him. I'd like to meet him.
I feel like you would be very polite up front, but I feel like you would get annoyed within like 5 minutes.
I do get annoyed fast. It does happen.
I don't want to be in the truth.
Like, it's just too much positivity. Too much.
Not even that. Just
too much.
Too much Russ.
Just too much. I don't know.
Have you done anything dangerous?
No. Is it real? Is he really doing Buckham? Is that a joke?
I saw two tweets about it. So, yeah.
So is he? That's the thing now?
Buckham.
We all got sayings. We all have sayings now. That's just...
That's one letter away from something else. Smart move.
Great. Is this going to work out? Is this thing going to work out with Sean Payton and Greg Penner? And I just have some concerns right now. I really do. I'm excited about the prospect of who Sean Payton is, like as a head coach. I kind of like bullying. I kind of like the light bullying of Russ. He needed to be. That's what the texts are saying about Payton making fun of Russ. Is saying, I like the light bullying of Russ. He needed to be brought down a little. I watched the McAfee clip, and he was totally just messing around. See, but that's a problem.
Unfortunately, social media isn't playing around.
Yeah, but I'm not. I don't care what you think of Russ, but light bullying of Russ is okay. That's your quarterback. He's already thrown him under the bus twice now. And this has just started a few days ago. He threw him under the bus saying, yeah, I'm not aware of any quarterbacks, coach. But and from all everything that I hear from our guys like Mr. Millen and everything is that I can't think of Russ's quarterback's coach. He's actually an awesome dude. Like, he's actually a really, really great person. And they all, like, even in Seattle, even though they can't stand Russ, they love that guy. He's, like, a really great guy. Whatever. I get it. Rules are rules. But have that conversation in your office with Russ. Hey, your quarterback's coach is not a part of my staff. I don't want him on the facility. You can do whatever you want outside of the facility with him. I don't want him here. Got it? Good. See you later. Instead, he threw him under the bus to the media on his opening press conference. He doesn't like the let's ride. So now he's kind of poking fun at it. Isn't that something where you sit him down and say, hey, Russ, listen, man, I get what you were trying to do. It was cool. It just didn't work because you guys were losing. And now it seems a little awkward. Why don't we just tone down the catchphrases? Let's just keep it to go Broncos. Let's just stay there. If you want to say one, it's a very consistent message. And we all say go Broncos. How about that? Because it doesn't seem like any of your teammates are saying it, right? So let's stay away from it. Instead, he gets on, and I get it, Super Bowl row, it's Radio Row or whatever. I'm not a big fan of that. Kind of making fun of your quarterback twice in a row, out in the open instead of in a personal type meeting, personal setting. Oh boy. It's just interesting, the whole thing. And it makes me, again, it makes me take a step back and wonder, is this going to be just more of the same? Sean Payton was with Fox for how many years? Was he just there for one? So he's kind of getting into the game of it all. Is this going to be more just fodder for us to talk about? More things that we can just look back and go, I didn't really like how Sean handled that. And that's what I'm saying. Right now, mark it down. February 9th, when I'm saying this, is that stuff... Him kind of poking fun at Russ. Him shutting down the quarterback coach in the facility. Opening week for Sean Payton. Is that kind of stuff going to hurt the relationship between the two and ultimately the relationship going forward?
So are you saying that he's doing it to get TV talk? Like, oh, this would be a talking point on a pregame show.
I don't know. He talked very openly about his hiring process, which we've never seen before.
He's still doing stuff with Fox this weekend.
Which is weird. I'm sorry, but that's weird. I want you in the lab. At this point, anyway. He said, Chris, oh, that's bad. Broncos are trained to buck them off. Used to rodeo, it's true.
We're not denying that horses do this.
No, and you can ride a horse too. Like Russ and Sean Payton are both right. Let's ride. You can ride a horse. Buck 'em is what horses do. Sean Payton and Russ both understand what the principle. I guess we're gonna buck teams off of us.
Like let's ride the optimistic. Yeah, we're gonna ride this Bronco.
Let's ride
all the
our
way.
Bronco, yeah.
And then let's buck. Buck feels like screw this horse.
Or maybe it's let's buck off. We're the Bronco, and they're riding us, but we're bucking them off. So let's just buck around. You know?
Could get ugly.
They both understand.
Like, I'm imagining the entire stadium chanting Buckham.
Yep. And then we'll get another Utah State situation where people are like, they were all cursing in there. It's like, no,
or,
no. They
a
were
Dinger situation.
Yes.
That one.
Cussers. No, no. Texters. It's clear that Russell Wilson and Sean Payton understand what their mascot is. That we can be sure of that. Those two 100% understand that the Denver Broncos are a horse. Because they both have come up with catchphrases that are surrounding that animal.
I think Mile High City is available now.
You could steal that.
If you want to use it.
See, Bones's was more organic. Bones's is... Because it was Mile High City, baby, let's... You know, you didn't say let's ride. You just said Mile High City, baby, and that was it, right? It was just kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, I remember him doing that at the home opener last year. He got to introduce the crowd to the team.
That was really cool.
We'll miss him.
Yeah, I'll miss him.
Unlike Barton and others.
Yeah, I'll miss
Bones. We won't have a lot of negative about Bones.
You think he's going to turn out to be a star, or do you think he fizzles?
On the Clippers?
Yeah.
No. The Clippers feel like they just kind of grabbed as many players as they could, and we're going to just try to fix it. The Lakers, obviously, are just appeasing LeBron.
The Clippers are not fun to watch.
No.
They lost to the Mavs last night without Luka. They're not fun to watch. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they're not fun to watch. It's just slow down, give it to Kawhi, Paul George. Do you ever just watch Clippers games, though, and see Kawhi Leonard on the sidelines?
No.
It's so funny. He just has that look the whole time, just that sad... Really sad, I'm about to cry look. The whole time. It's so funny to me. My favorite guy to watch on the sidelines. Because he is in a different world than everybody else. 41 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos. Left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Certainty.
Let's drive. That's the name of the song. Drive. It's a good song. It's nice to just go out and listen to tunes, be outside at a beautiful golf course, maybe at the Eaton Country Club. I think we're all ready. I think even me, who's terrible at golf, I am very much looking forward to being out and about. And Angel, we're going to try to learn how to golf better.
It's in the air. You can feel it.
Yeah.
Spring is coming.
Maybe we train and then we beat Tanner. We train.
Well, as long as he's not cheating.
Well, he'll cheat. It's going to happen. But we train.
We'll do it the fair and square way.
Headbands on.
Headband golf.
Yeah. Put it under your hat.
It's a new style.
Just put it under your hat.
No, just do the headband.
Okay. Will they allow that? Eaton Country Club, they might.
I think it's proper, you know, attire.
But I've worn jeans to golf there at the country club. Have you?
No.
You won't do it?
I stick to the dress code.
You could wear jeans there. I was told that
at
Eaton Country Club.
All right.
Not all of them you can do that. Tanner says, you guys will not beat me. See, doesn't that just make you want to beat him more? Well, check him out online. EatonCC.net. Don't quote me on the jeans thing. Tanner told me that. He said, you can wear jeans. So
Tanner
I did.
Probably wears jeans on the course, too.
Tanner wears jeans to sleep at night, I'm pretty sure. Tanner wears jeans.
You never know when the cows are going to get going. You got to be ready.
Tanner wears jeans and boots to the hot tub. Like, hey guys, it's beach day. I mean, he did wear jeans and boots on the beach. The picture.
Yep.
He is the only guy that does that. Him and my dad. And probably my grandpa.
I mean, they're versatile, you know, clothing, but...
Well, sand's not getting in there. No. If you're wearing boots on the beach, good luck getting in, sand. If I wear these shoes that I have on right now, or sandals, yeah, it's open season. Sand's everywhere. It's actually a pretty smart move by Tanner, if you think about it.
But is it comfortable?
Probably not, but cowboys don't care about comfort.
True.
They don't care. They care. They went to wear their, like, the most uncomfortable pair of Wrangler jeans... tight boots that come up to here to below your knee, like a stiff Western shirt that just looks like it's going to give you a lot of severe rubbage around the neck and collar region.
Freshly starched.
And then a tight cowboy hat. And Tanner doesn't do the cowboy hat, but he's got everything else.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe he's afraid it would look silly. 48 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, it is. How are we feeling, Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Good. There you go. Thank you. Eastside Chris, does Tanner use a drone to fly over the ranch to check the cows during calving season? Something I never thought I'd read on my sports show. Would cut down on driving around the back 40. It's not actually a bad idea.
No, unless the cattle are afraid of it.
But you can use it high and, like, I guess, yeah, if you want to see what's going on. Ooh, maybe that's what. Maybe that's what they were doing. New way to check cows.
I think it's part of the experience.
Yeah.
It's the mystery of, did that cow have a baby? Let's drive out there. It's 20 degrees.
Tanner says, I do. We have a drone. Nah, that's not old school farm ranching.
You need a government bird spy.
Yeah, that's a bird spy. Dude, now you're giving access to everyone about your cows. Like, that drone, as soon as you turn it on, the government knows exactly what your cows are doing.
They can hack into it.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, those cows are not right. We need to get in there, figure something out. There we go. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Don't forget, we have Rams Weekly coming up, all CSU talk at 5 o'clock with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. And then we will have a big one tonight for you. The UNC Bears taking on Portland State. That pregame coverage starts at 5:30. Jerry Schimmel on the call tonight. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. It is a big game for the UNC Bears. So shout-out to Kevin for being on the show with me earlier today, Kevin Lytle. And then Cody Tucker, great dude. It's not great what's happening in Wyoming right now. So summary, to summarize everything, Russell Wilson's charity seems like it's in some hot water, and I'm guessing we'll figure out what the ramifications are going to be. The Denver Nuggets moved on from Davon Reed and Bones Highland today, and essentially a second-round pick. That's if you want to round it out and what they ended up giving for Thomas Bryant, it was essentially they gave up Davon Reed, Bones Highland, and a second-round pick. How are we feeling about that? We'll elaborate and talk more about it tomorrow. Nuggets are in action tonight at 5 o'clock in Orlando. We'll see how they do. Should be just fine, is my guess, for this game at least tonight. So you got the Nuggets in action. You got the Avs in action tonight. The Bears in action. You got a lot to pick from. That'll do it from us. Good night, Northern Colorado. Let's ride and let her buck.